on this movie Sunday.
Cheers, guys. It's been a while. It's been a while since we've done Church at the Movies. I think the last time we did it was actually during the pandemic. We had a great big barbecue over at our building on Seaforth Avenue, and we had a series of movies. And these are some of my favorite Sundays. Now, if you've never been to Church at the Movies before, what we're essentially doing is a 21st century version of what Jesus did. When Jesus went along preaching, sharing the good news, sometimes he would be pretty obvious. And sometimes the disciple would say, "What on earth are you talking about? I do not understand." And he had to unpack it through stories. Jesus told parables. He told parables about things relevant to the day. And today, that's what we're going to be doing and doing for the next 3 weeks. We are going to be sharing hope-filled, inspiring messages using clips from movies. Now, we got just one more week, and today we have my favorite movie, A Knight's Tale. Now, if you've never seen this before, let me give you a little bit of an introduction. Set probably about 600 or 700 or even 800 years ago in England and France, this is in the medieval times. And knights, these mighty warriors in shining armor on horseback, valiant warriors, what they would do in their spare time is they would do a sport called jousting. Now, if you don't know what jousting is essentially two knights in full armor carrying a great big wooden lance, a spear. They just charge at each other and try and knock each other off the horse. Now, that was the sort of sports that they had 700, 800 years ago. And A Knight's Tale, this movie, is all about one particular person played by the late, great Heath Ledger. It's about a young peasant called William. Now, William, as a peasant, he had nothing to his name. He didn't own any property. He didn't have any money. He barely owned his own body. He served a knight along with his other peasant friends. And this knight is quite successful in jousting, but he's getting old. He's getting on a little bit. And it comes to the point where there is one jousting match left before they win the championship. And during the break of the match, his master, the knight, dies. So we're like, what are we going to do? We're William, a peasant, cannot read, cannot write, simple man who years ago as a child, his father had to give him away to hopefully give him a better life with this knight. Young William says, "I'll do it. I'll ride. I'll joust." And what we see at the start of the movie is that young William puts on his master's armor. He pretends to be a knight, which was against the rules. You could be arrested if you were not of noble birth back then. But he charges. He nearly drops the lance, but he wins the jousting tournament. And we pick up the scene where William and his friends have just won the tournament. They've won a great big prize, and they're deciding, how are they going to spend their money? Take a look at this.
15 silver florins. He didn't want that. That's 5 for William. 5 for what? 5 for Roland, who's going straight home to England.
Straight to the pub for me. Eel pie. Brie tart. Tansy cakes with peppermint cream. Oh.
We could do this.
Do it. We've done it, boy. That's silver in your hand.
I mean, we can do this. We can be champions. Give us your coins. Well, now, come on. Give me your coins. Right. Right, now that's one for you, and one for you, which leaves 13. That's 13 for training and outfitting. Now, the tournament in Rouen is in a month from now. In 1 month, we could split a prize bigger than this one. In 1 month, we could be on our way to glory and riches.
Jim, I just want to go home.
Tansy cakes with peppermint cream. Dilled veal balls with squash fritters. I'll take my 5 now.
Oh, wait up! You're going the wrong way!
Beacon technique?
Well, most of it is the guts to take a blow, to strike one. Guts I have. And technique? I have a month to learn that. If you can take your coins, go to England, eat cake. But if you can't, you come with me. You see, money doesn't matter. Yeah!
You see how hungry I am, do you?
Damn your stomach, what? Molly, please. The 13 silver pieces, three men can change their stars.
God love you, William.
I know. No one else will.
Unlucky!
I think he's getting worse. He is getting worse. The low rider is a big fire.
Come on, ponies.
Pong him.
Step faster, balance.
No. Slow. Keep it steady. And, I got it. Look, I got it. There you go.
Any minute now.
Gets a haircut at the end. So, the title of my message this morning, if you're taking notes amidst your popcorn and drinks, is The Heart of the Matter. So, they just won a tournament taking his master's place illegally. You were not allowed to pose as a knight and joust if you were not born from royalty or noble birth. But, did you notice what he said? He said, all they need is training, outfitting, the right equipment. He's already got what he needs. The heart, the guts, the spine, the spirit. And like I say, the title of my message is The Heart of the Matter. Now, I don't know if you've ever been wandering through life, maybe before you came to church, or maybe even as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus. You're just looking around, reading the news, going to work, taking care of the kids, and you're thinking, there must be more to life than this. Even as a Christian, just day in, day out, when you to be loving, right when you're sat in the middle of traffic, you're thinking, there must be more to life than this. But with that prize money, with 13 silver pieces, William says to his friends, Roland and Watt, he says, with 13 silver coins, one man can change his stars. And as we'll find out later on in the movie, that's something that his father said to him as a child before they parted ways. He said, someone was mocking him and says, like, you want glory and riches? You might as well try and change the stars. And little William says, is that possible, father? Can a man change his stars? And his father says, yes, William. If a man believes, a man can do anything. And I don't know what has brought you to church this morning. I don't know what your kind of week has been like. I don't know whether you're looking forward to Christmas as the most wonderful time of the year or the most stressful time of the year. I don't know if you're already thinking about New Year's resolutions or what 2024 is going to bring. But I'm sure some of you at some point, if not right now, might be thinking, surely there must be more to life than this. And what we really read in the Bible is people asking this sort of question in different words, looking around, trying to find joy, trying to find satisfaction, trying to find meaning and purpose beyond the everyday. And they're just like, how? How on earth is this possible? And in the Bible, we get a wonderful little verse in the Psalms. It's not on the screen, but it just came to mind. It says, God isn't interested in burnt offerings, in sacrifices, and that sort of thing. The kind of sacrifice that God is interested in is a broken and humble heart, a lowly spirit. Let me tell you, if you are in the space this morning where you're wondering, is there more to life than this? You're in good company. You're in good company. What ends up happening in A Knight's Tale is they're a little bit confused. They find life a little bit difficult first, trying to blend in with upper-class society. But William and his friends eventually find their way to a tournament in France. And William is jousting against a man named Sir Thomas Colville. And as he's jousting, all of the rich knights, all knight in his shabby armor, and they're like, who is he? He calls himself Sir Ulrich. He couldn't give his real name. Who is this Sir Ulrich? He seems different. Have a look and see what happens when he jousts with Colville.
God, the one, the only, Sir Ulrich von Liechtenstein!
Now I got their attention. You go and win their hearts.
Very good.
Was she watching?
Jeff,
what?
Did she see me?
Yes, she saw you.
Did she see me take the hit?
Yes, she saw you take the hit.
Or was she concerned?
It was dreadful. Her eyes welled up. It was awful.
Colville has perfect technique.
His technique, rudimentary.
Fearless.
Non-existent still. He is fearless.
Fearless. How so?
The slit in a helmet's visor is narrow, but splinters can penetrate it. Most knights raise their chins at the last instant. You lose sight of your opponent, but you protect your eyes. This Ulrich doesn't.
He keeps his eye on the target. A true hunter.
I'm through. But, I've never not finished before. I wish to keep my honor intact.
Draw, and Corvall is hurt.
Colville withdraws. Ulrich advances. Why didn't Ulrich finish him?
He shows mercy.
Then he shows his weakness. That's all mercy is.
You can see the folks don't understand. This man, William, this knight, posing as Sir Ulrich, he has heart. He jousts and he's winning against Sir Colville. And what ends up happening? Colville is. And William, rather than just charging through, just finishing him off, knocking him off his horse, possibly killing him, William says, "Let's make it a draw. I will show you mercy." And everyone in the stands, they can't understand. But this is what sets him apart. William has heart, a heart that sets him apart. And I'm wondering this morning how your heart is doing. See, God is calling us to not just be a Christian, a follower of Jesus on the outside, doing all the right religious stuff, praying a certain number of times a day, reading our Bible in 1 year, all good stuff. But God's more interested in the heart of the matter. When Jesus was confronting the religious people of the day, the people he got most upset with, he got upset with them because they were people who were doing all the religious stuff, but they had no heart behind it. And he quotes this ancient prophecy from Isaiah chapter 15, verses 7 to 11. He says this, "You hypocrites." Isaiah was right about when you prophesied, because he wrote, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce. They teach man-made ideas and commands as God." And then Jesus goes on to say, he calls the crowd to come and hear. He says, "Listen, try to understand. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You're defiled by the words that come out of your mouth, what come out of your heart. All these religions, dress this way, don't dress that way. Offer this sacrifice, don't offer that sacrifice. Rule upon rule upon rule. And none of it was touching their heart." But Jesus says instead, it's not about this stuff. It's not about the food you eat, what goes into your mouth. It's not about this religious activity. In fact, if you want to tell whether someone's not a nice person, listen to what they say. It's what comes out of their mouth, what comes out of their heart. And the people in the stands, the rich knights, the royalty, they don't understand why William spared Colville. He says, mercy is a weakness. But instead, William decides, this is who I am. This is who I am. I'm after glory, I'm after riches, I'm after be the best jouster in the land. But that will not come at the cost of my heart. And I wonder how many of us go through life wondering, how on earth am I going to navigate life without making sure that my heart stays tender? Pastor Bruce Monk, the leader of the Equippers movement, has this wonderful saying where he says, we need to have a tough skin, so that everything that comes along in life doesn't shake us. We're strong, we're resilient. But we need to have a soft heart, one that's tender, one that's responsive, merciful, honorable, loving. Many people have it the other way around, he says. Many people have a soft skin and a hard heart, where every little trouble, every difficulty that comes their way just goes straight in. And as a result, their heart is cold and distant and shut off, and they become something that God never intended. God doesn't want the stuff on the outside. You can tidy that up only after your heart has been softened. We see the heart of a knight. Not a knight on paper. Not a knight who was born into it. But a knight in his heart. Many things happen. William, Sir Ulrich, goes along navigating what it means to be a knight. He wins many victories, makes a few enemies along the way, and he heads to the west. He's going back to his old town, seeing the sights, and he meets a little girl who lives there, and he says, you know, I was born on this street. I wonder, did you know an old man talking about his father, John, expecting him to have passed away? And the little girl says, yes, I know John. He lives just up there. He's blind. He's an old man, but he's still there. So William goes to be reunited with his father, who was the first one that told him, you can change your stars. Take a look at this.
If you're here for the net, I haven't finished yet. Come back tomorrow. Who are you?
A knight. My name is Ulrich.
Ulrich? Hear that name being chanted from the stadium. What business have you here?
I have word, Master Thatcher. Word of your son.
Oh, my William. Come in, sir. What word? Does he live?
Aye, he lives. Very well. He wanted you to know that he changed his stars after all.
And has he followed his feet? Has he found his way home at last?
Yes.
I'll try not to tear up. 20 years. And you can see right now where this heart has come from. This young man, this peasant who had nothing to his name, no hopes or dreams, was able to change his stars. That phrase came from his father the last time they met. You can change your stars. That's what causes a change of heart. Maybe you're sat here thinking there must be more to life than this. Maybe your heart has become bruised and hard because of what you've been through, maybe what you are going through right now, and you're thinking, this all sounds very nice, Chris, but how on earth can I trust again? How can I love again? How can I open my heart again? This is the answer. It is the love of a father that changes your heart. The father believes in him. And in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 18, Paul is talking about the love that the ultimate father, Father God, has for each and every one of us. In Romans 8, he says, everyone who is led by the Spirit of God, they are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now just pause there for a minute. God, King of the universe, author of life, has adopted you, welcomed you into his family, calls you son, calls you daughter. And now, as a result, we can call him Abba. Father, for his spirit joins with our spirit, knit together in love, to affirm that yes, we really are God's children. And since we are, in fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. If we are to share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. The Bible's not ignorant of the fact that just because you're a child of God doesn't mean life is easy, doesn't mean life is perfect, doesn't mean that you will never face difficulties again. But Paul says, what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that he will reveal to us later. All creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Did you know that your family, your friends, your street, your neighborhood, your city, your workplace, your world around you, creation itself is longing, eagerly expecting for when you, with God, will rise up and receive your inheritance, shining the life, the love, the goodness, and the glory of the Father from a pure heart, a soft heart, an open heart, a heart that has been touched by God's Spirit, a heart that says, no matter what comes my way, I can change my stars. No matter what the news might say, or my diagnosis might say, or my bank account might say, God is with me. God is fighting for me, and I refuse to allow my heart to become hard in this situation. In fact, I'm going to respond in the opposite spirit and say, God, my heart is open to you. I trust you. I walk with you. I work with you, and I trust that you are able to lead me into glory. You cannot muster that up on yourself. Believe me, I've tried. Every New Year's resolution, every productivity podcast, every to-do list and calendar, every tool, every way I organize my life and strive in my own strength, it just falls short. But what has changed me, what I know has changed many people in this room, who has chosen you, will start to change your heart today, is the love of a Father who has chosen you, called you, believes in you, says you can change your stars. As we come to the final clip, as we round off this series, we're not going to go all the way to the end of the movie because, like I said, it's my favorite. Go home and watch. Glory, we must also share his suffering. What happens is that guy you saw in the stands in the second clip, Count Adhemar, the big bad guy of this film, he follows William into Cheapside in London, and he sees him meeting with his father, and he discovers this guy has been lying. This guy is not who he says he is. He's not Sir Ulrich. He's not a knight. He's just a peasant. And in those times, it was illegal. You would be put in prison, and then you would be put in the stocks. You'd be locked up in public for people to mock you, jeer you, shout at you. And this is what happens to William. He's discovered. He's stripped of all of his titles, and he's put to public shame. And in the crowd, there's one man who notices. One man who notices this. It's the man he spared in the second clip, Sir Thomas Colville, who it turns out was also hiding who he really is. Sir Thomas Colville happens to be the future King of England. Take a look at this.
Jesus Christ the Nazarene and his most holy mother, the Virgin Mary, are my witnesses. I will flog you. I will rip your guts down, blind, stigma, prison, pain, loss of pain.
We're in trouble.
Listen to me.
Both trying to hide who we are, both unable to do so. Your men love you. If If I knew nothing else about you, that would be enough. But you also tilt when you should withdraw. And that is Knightley, too.
Release him.
You may appear to be of humble origins, but my personal historians have discovered that he is descendant from an ancient royal line. This is my word. As such, is beyond contestation. Now, if I may repay the kindness you once showed me, take a knee. Vested in me by my father, King Edward, and by all the witnesses here, I dub thee Sir William. Arise. Sir William. Any joust?
What?
Is my tournament to finish? Now, are you fit to compete, or shall the forfeit stand?
No, I'm fit.
I shall have your opponent informed of it. You look for his shield on the lists.
At once.
Thank you, my lord.
Here we have the second ingredient of a change of heart. What originally softens your heart, opens your heart, is the love of a father who speaks destiny into you, who says you can change your stars. I love you. I'm for you. But as we saw in Romans chapter 8, there comes a time when the rubber's got to hit the road. There comes a time when your heart is tested. There comes a time when other people don't understand and maybe mock you, taunt you, hurt you for it. What do you need then? You need the Son of the King to come along with authority to lift you up and send you out. The prince there, did you catch the words he said? When William's friends were defending him from the crowd, he looked at him and said, "Your men love you. If that was the only thing that I knew about you, that would be enough." That's what a heart for God does. It doesn't just... Roland in the first clip said, "God love you, William." And William's like, "Yeah, no one else will." And after a long journey where his own heart has been softened, Roland stands with his friend in his moment of need and says, "God love you, William. And so do I. So do I." When you know that you are loved by the Father, and when you know that the Son of the King takes you by the hand, lifts you out of prison, and sends you into your destiny, you are able to love others, and your stars, your world can change. And so does everyone else's as well. In John 13:35, these are some of the last words that Jesus says to his disciples before he goes to the cross. And he says, this is the mark of a Christian, the mark of someone with a heart for God. He says, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love each other." Like the prince said, "Your men love you, and if that was the only thing I knew about you, that would be enough for me." And how do we love one another? John says again in his letter, 1 John 4:19. How do we have that love for one another that is able to show the world what Jesus is truly like, that changes the stars? We are able to do this, John says. We love because he first loved us. Come on, this morning, drop the pressure. Drop the weight. Drop everything that says you have to do to be a Christian. You have to be good enough for God to love you or forgive you. And just know that you have two things that are able to change your stars this morning. The love of a father that speaks life and love and destining you out of your prison, out of your difficulty, restoring you, healing you, giving you a new identity, a new name, and sending you to share in his glory. Don't get me wrong. A person with heart, with the heart of a knight, will be misunderstood. In a different scene to this, when they're just realizing William's been discovered, and they're telling him to run, and he refuses. Roland tries to convince him. He says, William says, I'm a knight, I will not run. And Roland says, you're a knight in your heart, but not on paper, and paper's all that matters to them. Some people only care about the stuff. Some people only care about the outside, how you look, the way you speak or behave, how much money you've got in your account, the way you do things. But like that wonderful verse in 1 Samuel, when King David is being anointed by God, Samuel's trying to find the right king. And God says to him, don't look at how tall he is. Don't look at how clever he is. Don't look at how well he's got his life together. That's not what it's about. Humanity looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. You will be misunderstood with the heart of a knight. Whether so worth it. Whatever you're facing right now, whether it's something in your own world, your own failures, your own mistakes, your own difficulties, whether it is something outside that wasn't your fault, it's just happened, or whether it's the state of the world, the state of your finances, the state of your family, whatever it is that you're facing this morning, just know that you have the love of a father and the hand of the son of the king. Seriously, go watch this. It's awesome. And if you're sat here thinking, you know, Chris, that all sounds really nice, but how on earth do I begin that journey? Like I say, get to know your father. Get to know the one who has loved you from the start. Get to know the one that speaks life into your life, who speaks joy, who speaks peace, who speaks hope. What is your prayer life looking? And by that, I don't mean, have you got a nice half-hour devotion in the morning and evening, and are you doing this, this, that, and the other? I mean, when was the last time you just sat down on a comfy chair and said, Father, I'm here. Speak to me. Would you just come and love on me right now? Before I go through the rest of my day, Father, I'm here. I want to spend time with you. Or when was the last time in your situation where you're feeling like you're in the stocks, spiritually, mentally, socially, emotionally, anything? When was the last time that you looked up and saw the Son of the King, Jesus, standing there? Are you going to let him unlock you? Are you going to let him, as you take a knee to him, giving him the glory, acknowledging him as Lord, will you allow him to give you a new name, a new identity, a new future? That's what it takes this morning. How about we jump to our feet? I'd love to pray for you as we come to an end. And again, however you engage with God, this is a time. Me personally, I'm going to put my hand on my heart because the heart is what matters. Jesus, thank you for every single heart in this room, whole or broken, ready or not, open or closed, healed or battered and bruised, God, you see every heart where every person is right now and angry with them. God, thank you that for every heart here, every person here, you are in a good mood this morning. And I pray, Jesus, where we've put up walls in our hearts, where we have refused to engage with what you want, would you let down the walls this morning? God, I speak healing into every heart right now. Where there's been pain, where there's been trauma, difficulty, that has closed off people's hearts, made them hard and unfeeling. God, thank you that you are the answer. Would you soften every heart this morning? Soften every heart to be able to love again, to be able to trust again, to be able to dream again, to be able to hope again. Thank you, Jesus, that it's not about our works, but it is about how good you are. You've poured out your Spirit into our hearts, and you are never moving out. And Jesus, we acknowledge right now, where we feel like we're in prison, we take a moment now to look up and see you standing there with a smile on your face, the Son of the King, ready to unlock our prison doors, give us a new identity, a new name, and send us out in glory, in destiny, to change not only our stars, but the stars of everyone around us. Thank you, Jesus, that you have unlocked the prison doors of people's hearts this morning. The choice is, church, are you ready to walk out of those doors free and into the business of changing your stars? And just before we finish, if you've never come to the point where you've actually said yes to Jesus, where you've given control of your life over to him, where you've actually acknowledged him as Father, you've acknowledged him as Lord and Savior of your life, we always give an opportunity at the end of church for people to do so. In a moment, we're going to pray a prayer out loud all together. I'll pray a line. You can pray it back out loud. For those of us who already follow Jesus, it's just a simple declaration of faith, but we're doing this all together. For gave your life to Jesus, but you walked the very first time. Or if you once gave your life to Jesus, but you walked away, today's the perfect day to come home again to a loving Father. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for his death on the cross that paid for my sin, and his resurrection to give me new life. I'm sorry for doing things my way, but today I receive you and your love and forgiveness. Come into my life. Make me new. Change my stars. And I declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he is my Lord. Amen. Just with every head bowed and every eye closed, it's just as a private moment here. It's only me looking around. But if that was you, you just said that prayer for the very first time, or as a way of recommitting your life to Jesus, I want you to do something super brave in just a moment. I won't embarrass you or bring you to the front or anything, but how about you just stick up your hand, I'll acknowledge it, and you can put it back down again on the count of three. One, two, three. Fantastic. I see that hand. I see that hand too. Amazing. You can put it down again. Anyone else? Awesome. Folks in here saying yes to Jesus. Is there anyone else? Very cool. Very cool. People giving their lives to God, best decision you could ever make. Your stars have started to change this morning. Listen, if you just raised your hand to give your life to Jesus, or maybe you didn't, but you felt like you wanted to, on the screen behind me, there's a QR code that is going to say next steps. We would love it if you could just quickly take out your phone, give that a scan. It'll take you to our website where we've got a couple of short with you. We'd love to give you a Bible, something to help you read the Bible. And the best advice we always say is keep on coming back. This is a whole group of people with a whole lot of heart that would love to help walk out this journey alongside you. And maybe as part of the change of your hearts, if you like what you see in this church and want to support this ministry, on the screen behind me, there'll be another QR code and a link to our website for giving. Or at the end, when we go through one last song of praise, the hosts will pass the buckets throughout the rows. If you want to give by cash, you can give online here like many folks in our church do. But listen, if you are a guest, if you are a visitor, if you wouldn't call this church your home, please feel under no obligation to give. Everything's on the house, especially the popcorn. We're so thankful that you came to be with us in church this morning. We hope you just have a good time. Feel free to let the buckets pass you by during the last song. Well, we always say there's a party in heaven when people give their lives to God. And we're going to join in with that party in just a moment. After the final song, head to the back of the room where we've got even more food and drink, some hospitality prepared by the team. Stick around, have a conversation, chat with someone you didn't come with. If you have to dash off, that's absolutely fine. Be blessed. Thank you for being with us. But don't forget, take this with you. In fact, we got a whole stack of these in the back table over there. Take a big chunk with you to give to your neighbors, your college friends and school friends, your work colleagues. We got two more weeks of Church of the Movies, followed by a kids' party, followed by Christmas carols, a big Christmas service. And we want to see this room full to overflowing where we run out of chairs. Does that sound all right? Awesome. Have a great week, everyone. Be blessed. May your stars keep changing. Go watch the end of the film. It's awesome. I'm going to hand over to the team for one last song of praise. Let's go.
Well, come on, we're going to go out praising God, declaring that He's always good. Come on, when I'm weak, He's strong.
When I'm weak, You are strong. Your faithfulness goes on. Sing this song. When I feel far, You are near. We sing Emmanuel.